Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
Live from the Liquor Barn Studios, it's time for the V Show, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Bobby V.
Not quite Bobby V. Not quite Bobby V. It is Nikki V. In for one more day. Pops back in town, but taking, doing the whole vacation from the vacation
day. Hey, why not?
Yeah, you know, so taking one more day off, that means I get to play radio with my boy Jeff Whitesey Jr.
Yes, sir.
Tanner Brutomesso on the ones and twos. We got you on a Tuesday edition of the V Show. It is a Twitter poll Tuesday. We'll come up with a Twitter poll tournament that I may or may not finish. We'll see. Neil Knuckles Greenberg, Tuesday regular, will join at 1:40 from the Washington Post to talk a little bit about the NHL and NBA championship. Well, I mean, Stanley Cup and finals, respectively. Maybe get a help him or help us put a bow on Triple Crown season, as he definitely is a horse racing aficionado as well. The fabulous one, Phil Baker, will join in the 2 o'clock hour.
He'll really join this time?
Yeah, he's not going to stand us up this time. Yeah.
Yeah. I felt betrayed yesterday.
Tanner was teasing something during the... By the way, also, I want to apologize. The V-Show is known for following its own time schedule and everything like that. But 12 minutes late is a little excessive even for us. But truth be told, I'm editing Middays with Marcus Maben and cutting reeds and everything over there. Normally, Pops can start the show, you know, at 12:05. But when the host is still doing producer duties, I swear. I mean, 50% of it is me just running around chatting with the fellas about maybe doing a wrestling show and enjoying some delicious Alani Nu.
Yeah.
But I am doing work over there, so I appreciate Jeff's patience and your guys' patience as we got the show off started a little bit later than we wanted to. But we appreciate you guys sticking with us. So yeah, just wearing a lot of hats, doing the producer thing.
Hey.
Doing the hosting thing.
Comes with it, man.
I'm not doing any of it really well, as we talked about. I'm vomit. I'm all over the floor, and I kind of stink. But, you know, yeah. So, we got that cooking today. Not a major newsworthy day.
No.
We'll hit the hits a little bit. Caitlin Clark held to, I think, 11 points.
Yeah, 10 points last
10
night.
10 points last yeah. night as the Sun get their 11th straight victory, beating her Fever. We'll do... It's a topic du jour. We'll do 5 minutes on it, maybe. But I just, all of this wringing of hands and gnashing of teeth has taken what I think could be a really fun thing in women's basketball and made it so divisive. It's either your team Caitlin Clark, team WNBA. There's all types of little nuances like sprinkled in there, whether it be race and sexuality. And I don't know. All I know is that I was excited to see Caitlin Clark, but not just her. I was excited to see Angel Reese,
yes.
Cameron Brink. Mm-hmm. I mean, all these stars that are an influx of talent, in addition to the names that even the casual fan knows. I mean, anyone who lived in Connecticut this decade knows Diana Taurasi.
Yeah.
And I know Sue Bird just retired, but I mean, I remember seeing Diana Taurasi at an airport, and my eyes got big, and she saw me see her, and she ran away because she knew I was going to do exactly what I did, which was run into the airport and go, Diana Taurasi's outside. And so, you know, I've always been a fan of Diana Taurasi.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm not going to pretend. Like, I mean, I'd struggle to name five more WNBA, superstars, both new and established. And I'm not saying that braggadociously.
No, it's just the truth.
It's just the truth.
It's just the truth. And that's the thing. That's the beautiful thing about what Caitlin is bringing to the game, because there are more people becoming more like Dejanay Carrington for the Connecticut Sun. Like, she's becoming more of a name. She's the one that held Caitlin to 10 points, and she, you know, had 22, and the, you know, Connecticut is on that 11 game winning streak. She's a big reason for that. Obviously, Asia Wilson is becoming more of a name. She's a dominant star, but with more eyeballs, you're like, hey, who's the leading scorer? Oh man, she's a beast.
Yeah, right.
And then of course Team USA, that even though it's controversy around it, we're learning more of the ladies on the team, and guess what? There's more coming. I'm not saying all of them are going to have the same type of star power as Caitlin, but Paige Beckers is really talented.
Oh yeah,
Juju Watkins may be one of the best we've ever seen when she hits the ground running. Like,
she's the girl from Notre Dame, right?
No, from USC.
Oh yeah, yeah.
USC. But the girl from Notre Dame is really good
too. I can't remember her name. Yeah. Oh my god, the freshman.
Yeah, Hannah Diago.
Hannah Diago. Yeah,
Hannah Diago. But see, they have 3 more years of college left, so they're up the pipeline, and that's why the women's game is in really good hands, and we've got some really talented women on the Louisville team coming up. Kenny Brooks is going to have Kentucky all the way turned, like Georgia Amore and the ladies that he's bringing in. He's a super talented coach, so the women's game is in a really, really good spot. It's actually probably, in terms of notoriety, maybe the healthiest it's ever been, both collegiately and professionally.
Yeah,
and a big part of that is the stardom of Caitlin Clark. And that's not just to say she's the only reason, right? Like, but she has star power. Like, there are just more people, there are just certain people with a certain level of gravitas for whatever the reason is, right? I don't know why, but she can ball. That's the biggest reason, because if she was a soup sandwich, nobody would care.
Right.
But the fact that she's like,
she's
really
a bucket,
good.
Right.
Exactly. No, she's really, really good, and was really, really good at a place like Iowa, who's not historically good. Now, she was really, really good at Connecticut. Yeah. I mean, it may have still caught the nation by storm. Maybe not.
No, it definitely helped that she was at a spot.
She was at Iowa and had them winning, you know, going to the national championship game 2 years in a row, beating really, really good teams on the way.
Established names.
Yeah, like South Carolina. She beat them. They were undefeated. Then came back and beat the defending champs the next year. Like,
yeah. Like Kim Mulkey and company.
Like, that is that. You have to be a stud to do that, like a really, really good player. And so,
especially in women's basketball, which I still love women's college basketball, but it still doesn't totally have the parity.
No, like that, the teams are loaded because it's not very active in the portal. Unlike the men's team, one men have a lot of one and duns,
right?
One and duns, or even if you're a two and done, a three and done, like people leave early.
Yeah, there's turnover.
Can't do that in women's. And the portal is so active. So even the guys who aren't leaving college, they just may be leaving your college.
Right.
Whereas women, like that, the transfer portal is real in the women's game, but you don't see a ton of stars transferring.
Right.
Like Angel Reese transferred. That was a big deal.
Yeah, and Haley transferring.
Haley was a huge deal. But
you don't see that much.
Exactly.
And if they do go, they're going to the upper echelon teams.
Exactly.
The LSUs, South Carolinas, the UConns.
And it shifts that dynamic. So when Angel Reese leaves Maryland and goes plays for Kim Mulkey, like, that made them a national champion.
Right.
Like that made them a national champion. So that's why the women's game is the healthiest it's ever been. We see an influx of stars, and you see a bunch of, like, people paying attention to it. It's just about, like, take your biases out. Like, just appreciate it for what it is. And just talk about, like, yes, it's okay that one girl just happens to be a superstar. Guess what? Everybody didn't get the same attention to Michael Jordan. Didn't get the same attention to Magic Johnson, Larry Bird. Like attention is, it's not all even surface place. Like, Steph Curry is a lot more popular than the end of the guy on the bench, right? Like, that's just how sports work. And guess what? It's okay. Like, it's okay. It's not an issue.
You brought up the point earlier in the week, and I thought it was a great point, was that now the NBA, or the NBA, the WNBA, is getting that same scrutiny that the other leagues. I mean, it's almost like one of those things. It's like, welcome to the club, kid.
Yeah,
like,
it's entered the hot take culture.
Right.
Like, you're in the sphere.
For better or for worse. Yes, but if you're going to be in the daily lexicon of sports, like, you're going to be subjected to that scrutiny.
Well, yeah, sports and the media is a soap opera.
Yeah, right.
Like, and so with soap operas have to come storylines.
Right. And there are some soap opera-y stories. I mean, the story about the girl or her teammate and her ex-wife and everything
like that.
Yeah,
they date. I think it's on Connecticut.
Yeah, yeah, I was going to say, you ain't getting that in the NFL.
No.
Like, that's wild.
They're dating, like, two teammates on the Connecticut. pardon me, I don't know their names, but they date and they played against like her ex-wife in one game. Yeah. So it was like wild. Like, what in the world? Yeah.
And the girl didn't defend her teammate. She like defended her ex-wife like in like a scrum. And it was just like, whoa, hey, wait a second now. Wait a second.
Like, and so, yeah. And those storylines, I think, will eventually make its way to the mainstream. But right now, the biggest storyline in the mainstream is Caitlin Clark. And it's because, like you said, she is the one that is driving a lot of the attention. And that's okay. Like, that's okay. LeBron James, he's paid a lot of bills over to ESPN or at Fox Sports or whatever, just being himself.
Right.
Doesn't really do anything besides play basketball and make a gazillion dollars off the court. But he drives attention. So that's why every other topic. I mean, they had a topic on First Take yesterday about LeBron James unfollowing Kendrick Perkins.
I was literally about, I was literally about
And then Kendrick Perkins compared himself to Jesus.
Yeah, well, he did that on Twitter the day before. Oh, when it happened, he compared himself to Jesus.
I was literally going to ask you about that.
To TV. Like, they brought that topic to TV. Oh, like, but that's what I'm saying. Like, everybody, like Jason Tatum could go unfollow a million people right now. That's not a topic. But if LeBron, and he's a superstar in the league, but LeBron James unfollows Kendrick Perkins, who's retired, who's a commentator.
Right, and that's a story. And that turns into a story.
And that is just the way stars work.
The scrutiny.
It's part of the game. It's part of the game. And I think just the WNBA crowd, they were purists. And now they're, not to say it's been tainted, but now you've become, it's like going from independent to mainstream. It's like, oh, okay, like, this is what comes with being mainstream. You're mainstream now, whether you want to or not. You have the Taylor Swift of your sport. You can't be independent forever with Taylor Swift. Now you're mainstream, and with mainstream comes some of the BS.
Yeah.
And so it's just adjusting to it.
Yeah, I feel like that's fair. And I feel like hockey kind of went through like something similar. When back when it, like after the lockout in 2004, it had a hard time securing a media rights deal. Mm. It was on Outdoor Life Network.
Oh, wow.
Which then turned into Versus, which I think Versus is gone now.
Okay.
But
yeah,
like,
NBC bought Versus.
Yeah.
I remember that day. That was so weird.
Well, it was a very weird time for hockey. Mm-hmm. So hockey was at its lowest point, and it had two transcendent stars
Ovechkin,
in Sidney Crosby
and Crosby.
Ovechkin.
Yeah,
yeah,
I'm
absolutely.
Not even a hockey guy, and I remember when that happened. Like, I remember when those guys came into the league.
But then,
and it was like, wow, like these dudes are awesome.
After like 5 years of scratching and clawing and everything like that, I remember Stephen A. giving an asinine hockey take. And I love Stephen A.
Yeah.
But I just, for the most part, like... But I remember I had that moment. I was like, what the truck is he doing talking about hockey? That'd be like me talking about ballet.
Yeah.
I've got no business doing it. Yeah. But then I was like, he's talking about hockey.
Yeah.
He's talking about hockey.
Yes.
Hockey's made it on First Take. We're back. And I was very excited. But I will say there was that like moment of, and I'm not saying I'm a hockey purist by any stretch. Yeah. If anything, like compared to like real hockey nuts, I'm probably more of a casual fan. But just because I follow it at all, I get labeled like the Barry Melrose of like Louisville, like ESPN Louisville. Like, but
I could see that definitely.
But there was a little bit of a pushback. Mm-hmm. I feel like when some national pundits started talking, and you gotta roll with those punches because now, I mean, the fact that they're talking about your sport when you were a tertiary sport, I mean, you really were. And now hockey's back in that second tier fold. You know, it helps that TNT and ESPN bought them.
Yes.
And so now that they have more of a reason to, you know, NBC did a great job carrying it for, you know, a little while. But now it's back in the lexicon. But yeah, there is that adjustment period of going from that tertiary or secondary like target to being the headline and having to deal with that scrutiny. And I do kind of, and I don't know where, that's the thing. Like, I just know everybody seems to be mad.
Well,
and I don't know, like, I don't know what side I'm supposed to be on. I'm on the WNBA side. I'm sorry they haven't gotten the coverage they deserve.
Yeah.
I also think that Caitlin Clark deserves her accolades and everything, but like, it seems like there's a pushback from the WNBA purists, and I don't understand what that is.
What I'll say, too, though, is the difference between even your comparison with hockey and this women's basketball, let's just label it all, but it's mainly the WNBA because that's where Caitlin's at, is that it's women. That brings in a whole another onion, right? Like, we're peeling back layers, but, oh, now we have a new onion to start peeling back layers because with women, like, it's just different. Like men, like, it's one thing if I criticize a man, whatever, if it's hockey, basketball, whatever, I could be too harsh. I could be whatever, and people will tell me, or whatever, like, that's one thing. But then if you do it to, like, women, it's a little different. Right. Now you could be labeled misogynist, sexist, or whatever, even if you're not trying to be homophobic, right. Because there are, you know, there are
there's LGBT, a high propensity of it,
LGBT in that community, right? In the basketball community. So, like,
and then you mix in the racial elements. Caitlin Clark's white, you know, it's the league. Know, there's a lot of women of color.
Yeah, it's a lot of black women in the league. So, like, that, it also makes it a whole different, you know, spiel. And I think, too, in a lot of ways, because most of the people on TV are men, like that. Like, so now you're talking about this league. And a lot of times, I think, like, this is just real life. This isn't a shot at the WNBA. This isn't a shot at women. This is just real life. Especially when it comes to sports, men think like businessmen. Right. Like, so the guy, Stephen A., Shannon, all these, like Colin Cowherd, like, they're thinking like businessmen. And I heard Gilbert Arenas actually say this. He's like, women think with emotion. So they want you to comment. Like, so when they're saying Caitlin should be on the team, a lot of the women, a lot of WNBA players are saying, people are saying, no, she shouldn't because she doesn't deserve it, blah, 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 blah. And that is probably true. Like, that more than likely is true. She's not one of the 15 best players in the WNBA right now.
She's good, but she will get to that point, likely, but.
But that's not how the Olympics work, right? Like, that's not, like, historically. And the Olympics historically works with, obviously, we want the best players, but then we want our most important players. Like, we want our guys who are the faces of our league.
Right. So, to promote the game.
Exactly. Right. So, like, even, like, the team that everybody loves to talk about when it comes to Olympic basketball is the 92 Dream Team.
Right.
Like, let's think about the 92 Dream Team. The 15 best American basketball players weren't on that team.
Shaq wasn't on that team.
Isaiah Thomas wasn't on that team. And then think about some of the people who were. Magic Johnson had HIV and hadn't even played in the NBA for a year.
Right.
Larry Bird couldn't even sit on the bench.
They took Christian Laettner.
Larry Bird literally had to lay on the ground during games. Like, he was pretty much out of the league.
Right.
Magic was literally out of the league. But they were still two of the most popular people in the entire world of basketball. In, you know, so of course we're going to take them. I don't give a damn if they're not going to play for real. And then because of the star power of Michael, Isaiah wasn't on the team. So, like, yes, the USA basketball leans in, typically, yes, even on the men's side, they take people who, whether they deserve it or not, is for the benefit of them because they understand it's a business.
Right.
Whereas the women's game, they're still, like, being very, you know, dignitary about it. And it's like, I can respect that if that's what you want to do.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, this is why they're talking about it like that, because they're thinking from a business perspective. You take Caitlin Clark, or you put Caitlin Clark on that team. Hell, because Gilbert said it, and I agree with him. I just wouldn't have took Caitlin. I would have put Caitlin. I would have put Angel Reese. And I probably would have put Cam Brink on it, too. Like, they're not three of the 15 best players in the WNBA, but you're three most marketable.
Right.
You're three most recognizable, along with Taurasi and Asia or whatever. But, like, after every game, Cam Brink averages like 5 points a game. And after every game, she's with Jimmy Butler. She's with Shohei Ohtani.
Right.
She's with, because people like Cam Brink.
Yeah, she's marketable. She's marketable. A star.
Like, you put your stars on the, like, that's how you continue to grow your game. And, like, and the thing is, like, oh, they want their best team. The women's team, USA women's basketball, has won 7 straight gold medals.
There's a tiny
they're
part
not
of me.
Gonna
it's
lose.
Like, their third. You could put the third best team out there, and they're
not
gonna,
going to lose. Like, the college team could go win the gold medal. Like, that's what they used to do, because the women's game is still in that infancy. Like, they don't get the international prospects that the men get. So that's why the men, you have to send the pros.
No, America learned that the hard way.
Exactly. Whereas the women's is still like, it's still like how the men were in 92. Like, you could probably get Juju Watkins, a couple girls from U of L, a couple girls from Connecticut, and go over there and win gold medal. Because this team, the pro team, has won 7 straight. It goes back 28 years. I think in the history of women's basketball in the Olympics, they've lost like one time.
Who is their biggest rival? Why do you know?
I hate to say it like this because nobody watches.
No, no.
I mean, it's just to be honest.
Well, yeah.
It's just being honest. Nobody watches. They just know they win gold because they always do.
Right.
And then, but if you add a Caitlin and her Angel and her Cam, that, once again, it may not be politically correct, but you'll get a whole lot more viewers if I know Cam Brink, Angel Reese, and especially Caitlin Clark is on that team.
Well, I mean,
NBC, I probably is pissed that she's not on the team.
I mean, they're on the Wheaties box.
Exactly.
All of a sudden. Like, and I mean, they're in all the promos for the Olympics. I mean, I hate to say it, like, I love Diana Taurasi, but, like, even she, like, I'm trying to, like, remember I don't see her as one of the major Olympic faces that they push.
No.
And they you know, and she's going to go for her sixth or seventh gold medal.
Exactly.
I mean, like, yeah. I mean, she's 42, so she's been doing it
a long time.
Yeah, 2004 was her first one. So you're swaying me, because there was a tiny part of me that was like, she doesn't need it. She's already a star. Maybe this is a good way to reintroduce the established WNBA stars. But I mean, that Dream Team example was a great one. You've swayed me to the point where I'm like, yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Put and think some about of your new faces on
what
there.
The Dream Team did. Why do you think there's so many talented European or non-American players in the NBA? It started with the Dream Team.
Right.
Like, they went over there, dominated with the biggest stars in the world in the NBA, and a young Dirk Nowitzki or a young Steve Nash or a young
Tony
whoever,
Parker or somebody,
like,
yeah,
saw that and was like, man, I want to do that.
Right.
I want to be like those guys. I want to be like Michael Jordan, Magic, whatever. And they got an opportunity to see them on the world stage as opposed to just the NBA stage. And that grew the game.
Right. That's and then why 10 years later, those European teams were beating Team USA. Right.
And now 30 years later.
Right.
Out of the five best players in the NBA, four of them are non-American. It's Luka, Joel Embiid, Giannis, and Jokic.
Right.
It's non-American. We could probably go even further, but those are the four.
You could throw in Wembanyama. Yeah, exactly. Wemby's in that list, too.
My point, exactly. And so that is essentially what some of the men, now they may not be doing the best job articulating it, but I think what they're trying to get at is you can have that same type of explosion if you add, they're specifically sticking on Caitlin Clark, but I'm even throwing Cam Brink and Angel Reese. If you add those people, those ladies, to that stage, they're already the most popular people in America, so you don't think they'll be the most popular people internationally? And then one of the excuses that came out, and this really, like, shit rocked the boat because this is just stupid. They said they were afraid, this is just a report, a rumor, that if they did add her to the team and she didn't play a lot, they'd get some pushback from, like, her fans because, you know, she's the most popular player in their sport. And that's weak. Like, that's just weak. I think that was that. If that is true, now, once again, it's just like a rumor report. If that's true, now that's garbage.
Yeah,
like, you can't do that. You're scared that you're going to have too many people watching? Well, like, you're scared you're going to have too many people interested in your team? Well, that's stupid.
The other thing is, like, they're going to, even if, let me grant you your argument. She's not the best player on Team USA. She's, you know, I mean, right now she's an alternate, so she would be a bench player on this team. You're going to be up in a lot of these games.
Like, up, up.
Up, up.
Like, 40, 50 points.
To the point where you can empty your bench.
Yes.
Emptying your bench is probably the right thing to do.
Absolutely.
In a lot of these. I was listening, when I left the restaurant last night, I was listening to the JR Sports Brief on CBS Sports Radio. And he was talking about this exact thing. And, I mean, that's a cop-out.
No, that's stupid.
I'm sorry.
That's stupid.
You don't need to feel compelled to play her her on the team. Just putting her on the team, she's going to have the opportunity to do the interviews and be on the cereal boxes and everything like that. But you know who else is? Asia Wilson.
Yes.
I mean, like, that
and they all get that, like, that.
A rising tide lifts all boats.
Because her being on that team, that's not just going to be more international exposure and endorsements and money for just her. It's going to be for everybody.
Yeah, right.
Because guess what? I see her. I'm over here because I'm going to get the eyeballs for her. But you're actually the best player, Asia Wilson. You're this or you're that. Like, I'm going to throw you a couple dollars, too.
Right.
Because, like, you're actually, like, really, really good. And as this thing keeps growing, I want to be attached to the best players. Yeah, we're going to be attached to Caitlin, too. Like, don't get twisted. We ain't leaving her out.
Right.
But I also want to be attached to the young lady who's leading the WNBA in points.
Right.
Like, the one that's won back-to-back championships or the one that also looks like an up-and-comer if you're whoever. Like, that.
Caitlin,
like,
Clark will bring you.
Come on, man.
Bring you into the party, but Asia Wilson will keep you there.
Exactly.
Something along those lines.
That's what I'm saying. Like, so, like, that's why, like, it just, like, some of the excuses that came out, like, that's not good business sense. Because even, for example, like, even if you look at team, like, I can continue to use the men example. You said Christian Laettner earlier. He shouldn't have been on the, like, and realistically, not only was he not the best college player that year, that was Shaq.
Right.
He wasn't even, like, a top 150 player in the NBA.
Oh, yeah.
Like that no. year. Or let's go even, we can give him more recent. Anthony Davis in 2012. Now, he was the best college player, but he wasn't the best. He wasn't a top 15 player in the NBA his rookie season.
No.
But that's the year technically he played on Team USA.
Right.
Because he had a brand. He was known. We're going to get our most marketable. He had the unibrow thing. The unibrow. Like, that was when
this
it was
guy's
like
our future.
Come on. Like,
right. And then 5 years later, he was the heir apparent to LeBron.
Exactly. It's like, I want to introduce him to an international stage. Even a guy like Anthony Edwards, right? Like, Anthony Edwards is on this year's team. There's an argument. I mean, you could say Jaylen Brown may win finals MVP. He's not on Team USA. Anthony Edwards is, though, because I want to introduce him to an international stage.
Right.
I want you to get to know Anthony Edwards. He is someone that's going to grow our game. He's going to give us some quotables. He's going to be someone that people are going to want to put a microphone in front of
right.
and really help continue to grow the game.
Maybe it's like an Isaiah Thomas situation, though, where they're just like, we don't want to play with her because – we already know they don't like her.
No, there is that element
possibly,
of it too.
But that's what I think. But nobody on the women's game. See, that's the thing. None of you guys are important enough, at least to me, are important enough to make that call. Michael Jordan's that important. Hey, if Isaiah's on the team, I'm not playing.
We can't lose MJ. He's the best player in the world.
He's not only the best, he is the most famous. He is our Caitlin Clark.
Right.
Sorry, Isaiah. We love you, buddy. It's not happening. Yeah. MJ say it ain't happening. Guess what? It ain't happening. None of you all have that kind of pool. Like we get it, but Caitlin's the one. Right. Like, if she didn't want one of y'all on the team.
Not yet, at least. Once everyone starts watching and becomes, hey, this Asia Wilson girl
is
the real deal.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, none of you all have that cachet to be even as great as you are, Asia Wilson. But if Asia didn't want Caitlin on the team.
Right. And we're saying all this is hypothetical.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, there's nothing come out that
exactly.
Asia. I want to clarify
I'm glad
that.
You did that. But if she were to have said that, I'm sorry, Asia, but she's going to be on this damn team. You're like, she's going to be on the team because our viewership will go from a million people, million and a half people to 3, 4, 5, maybe 6.
Right.
That's how big of an impact she makes. The same with like a Michael Jordan, whatever the number was. If he wasn't on the team, the NBA ratings were cut in half when Jordan retired the second time. That's how big of a deal.
That's wild.
He was, right? Like, so it was like, yeah, he can make that call. Everybody don't have that type of power.
No.
But I get what you're saying, though, Tanner.
And I do wonder how much that plays into it. But the fact that she's still a alternate makes me think that they're looking at this as... They're looking at it purely, like you said, they're looking at it as not business people. They're looking at it strictly in an analytical sense. That there's how many roster spots? 15? She is, analytically, the 20th best player on the team, or whatever she is. And so... She's an alternate, I believe, right now. So
yeah.
I mean, that
I
would
think
mean
she ends up on the team. I'll honestly,
no, I think so too.
Because I think
and I hope it happens organically. So there's not any wringing of hands and gnashing of teeth.
Yeah,
and I don't think either that. I mean, they're still going there to win.
Yes.
So I don't think
they're going to win.
And they're going to win. I don't think there's any pressure that Caitlin Clark needs to start.
Yeah, no.
And I think that there'll be ample time to empty the bench. And put all the players in. So one way or another, I'm saying there's going to be an opportunity organically,
yes,
for her to be able to be seen and play and everything like that. But all those people, like you said, tuning in to watch Team USA, maybe they're just tuning in to see Caitlin Clark or an Angel Reese or a Cameron Brink or something along those lines. But they're going to stick around and be like, I came up, I don't know, maybe I was high. I don't know. I came up with a saying one time. I was like, excellence transforms ignorance and apathy. I don't know. Like, it just hit me.
Meaning that
you don't have to know anything about hockey. You watch Connor McDavid and go, that dude is cold.
Oh, no. Yeah.
I did that
the other day. So, like, it's funny that you brought that up. There was a highlight tape of Connor McDavid that somehow got my algorithm and said, he's the Kyrie Irving of hockey.
Yeah.
And I start watching the way he works with the puck.
That's perfect.
I'm like, oh, this dude is. I'm like the most.
No, you could not. You
novice
could not care
people.
About hockey.
This dude is sick.
You could not know anything about hockey. But when you watch that, you go, yo, that guy.
He's good.
He's got a different gear than everybody yeah, else. No. He's got a turbo button. Yeah. Like, he's flying
and
around.
It doesn't matter. It's 10 people around him. He can just move the puck around. Like,
oh, God,
in
yeah,
and out, out, in, shot, boom, go. I'm like, yo, this dude is sick.
Yeah.
Like, this
dude is and sick. That's what's going to happen when people tune in to see Caitlin Clark and they see mm-hmm, Asia Wilson instead. Mm-hmm. They're going to be like, yo, this woman is.
She can hoop.
Yeah.
She's a hooper.
She's killing everybody yeah, out there. At least in theory, you would think that. Mm-hmm. So,
oh, no, it's in reality.
Yeah. Not just, no, I mean, she can ball. Yeah. I mean, there's ballers in the WNBA that aren't named Caitlin Clark. So, sorry, they got hockey up on, I know, the, I seen on the screen there.
I was like, who's fighting? I seen
we could talk. We could talk a little bit of hockey later. You know, people would probably be like, wait a minute, they're talking WNBA and NHL to start the show. Bold strategy, Kai. No, and that is one thing, and maybe I'm being Nikki the Lib here. I do think always, that there's so many layers to this.
Yes.
But like you said, being that they're women, there still is an element of sports culture.
Yes.
That I don't know why. I don't know if it's ignorance. I don't know if they feel threatened. I don't know what it is, or with all maybe all the woke quote unquote undertones. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But there's still an aversion to talking about women's sports. Even when organically, right now, let me grant you your argument, it's a slower period in sports. Mm-hmm. You know, the playoffs are winding down.
Yeah.
For the NHL and the NBA, we're miles away from hockey. We're in the we're approaching the All-Star break in baseball. You know, there's not a ton right now to talk about.
Yeah,
there are still stories.
Yes,
but it's one of those things where it's slowing down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and so organically, you have a major story that revolves around women's athletics, and there's an element of, I feel like, sports media that. Not sports media, just sports in general. They're like, oh, we're talking about women.
No, yeah. There's a demographic of people that are like
and
that.
And I
yes,
feel like that trickles in, that poison trickles into this conversation and fuels fire. Whether
it's an election year, too. That doesn't help.
No, you know, and there's that element, too. Mm-hmm. That's a good point. That's an element, too. But it's just, I feel like this is, it's very weird to me.
It is.
Like, this is such
not
a.
Not just you, it is.
Like, I'm like, we have marketable stars going to a league that has marketable stars in
yes,
it, but they're just not known. They need some new eyeballs. Mm-hmm. And you have this.
And they're getting them, too. Yes.
And you have this influx of talent. And everyone just seems mad on all sides, pro Caitlin, pro WNBA. And I'm just like, why can't we just enjoy something cool?
You know, the only person who isn't mad?
Who's that?
Caitlin.
Yes!
Caitlin herself.
Yes. She,
not one time
she
has she lashed out.
No.
Has she complained?
She's never complained. Mm. She's tried to draw fouls just like any good player yep, would. But she's not going to the media and complain. She's not to the point of, look, I love Luka. I love LeBron. They drive me nuts.
Luka especially, man.
Oh,
Luka
my God.
Luka can get the foul and still looking like.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm like, what
bro,
do you want?
Hoop,
like, do you want
bro,
a suspension?
Yeah,
like, just, what do you want?
Just, like, just hoop. Like, you're so good.
Dude.
Like, it takes away. I think
he is deadly. That's
he is
step
so
back,
good, and that takes a little bit. I think Luka would be even more popular if he just cut that out a
no,
little bit.
No,
like, I
said,
think he'd be even more
popular. I don't know if this is a hot take or not, but I've said that I think the legacy that will tarnish LeBron the most isn't the activism, isn't the decision. I think it's the fact that as he gets older and older, his complaining of the officials, like, because I mean, he's been treated that way so long. Like, I feel like he's going to cling to that. And as he slows down ever so slightly more and more, it's going to get more vocal. And it's the internet now, everyone's under a microscope.
Yeah. And they catch everything.
They are going, like, that's always been my biggest thing. Maybe, like I said, Nikki the Lib, ha ha ha,
yeah,
whatever. What if he wants to, you know, have his political opinions, he can have his political opinions. Enough time has passed since the decision.
Yeah.
Like, but I can't stand his constant complaining. Like, I can't stand it when he does it. I can't stand it when Luka does it. Like, it just drives me nuts, especially in this day and age where we're supposed to be kind of streamlining all of sports.
Yeah.
Like, whenever there's challenges or just bitching about officials and it mucks up the game.
Yeah.
It is nails on a chalkboard.
And it's gotten like, it's even worse. And I think it's hurting Bron. Some other things hurting them, like on their team success in the playoffs, too, because, you know, the refs don't call as many fouls.
Right.
Like, they kind of let them play a little bit. And that's why, like, playoff basketball, one, because
it's, but they're consistent with that.
Yes.
Right.
And it's with everybody. Like, playoff, like, regular season, okay, you guys make $60 million a year. We'll give you some of these, you know, calls, whatever. But then come playoff time, Like, don't think you're going to get 30 free throws and win a game because right. Joel Embiid shot 25 free throws or James Harden shot 19 free throws. Like, nah, like, we're going to have to play through some of that. Like, you, and so, like, with Bron, and I think it's hurt Luka in the past. They're in the finals now, but I think it's hurt him in the past because, and it's really hurt Embiid because he's never been this far at all. Like, you're used to getting those fouls during the regular season. You're used to getting those calls, and then come playoff time, don't get those calls anymore. No. Like, it hurt James Harden for, I mean, that's why he never won a championship or anything, because when you're, they call them foul hunting, mm-hmm. and you go foul hunting, and then playoff time, you're still foul hunting, but not actually just playing, or because basketball is a rhythm sport. It's a, right. it's a beautiful sport because when it's not stopped by fouls all the time, guys are in motion, guys are putting up shots, guys are acrobatic playing above the rim. Like, it's really,
it's
really
beautiful.
It's beautiful to watch.
It truly is.
Yeah, it's beautiful to watch. It's not really meant for, like, a lot of physical contact. It's for freedom of movement. And when you're just foul hunting, looking to get the contact, and you throw up some stupid shot and it bricks or whatever, I mean, you're complaining to the ref. So now, not only did he not call the foul, you're sitting there complaining, and they're running a fast break, 2-on-1, 3-on-1, and get an easy right. layup because you're sitting here crying about a foul call that you're not going to get in the playoffs.
Right.
Like, it's not the regular. This is not.
They are consistent. They consistently, yeah. like, are letting you guys play.
Yeah, this is not a November 5th matchup. This is a late May matchup. I'm not calling that. Like, that's not happening. Right. And historically, it hasn't happened. And I'm not letting you get away with flops or whatever. That's another thing I think has hurt the NBA a ton, is a lot of the flopping. It's like, no, we're not getting away with flops. We're not foul hunting. Just play. Just hoop.
Right.
And when you hoop, good things happen instead of, you know, complaining all the time.
Well, I mean, I love LeBron. I love Luka. Yeah. But that is the biggest thing that drives me nuts with the two of them. The complaining and the flopping and incessantly.
Yes.
Like, I mean, like bad. You said, Luka will get a call
yes.
and still bitch about it. And I'm like, I don't know what more you want. I don't like, does Adam Silver need to come down and, like, give him, like, a flagrant?
Yank up the ref? Like, no, just yank up the ref. Like, yeah, I'm yanking up the ref because you're not even mad at the player. You're not even looking at him. You're looking at the ref. Yeah, like, bro. Like,
what more is he supposed to do, man? He gave you the call. Like, I don't know, but it's infuriating. We'll take we're a little late. We'll take a bottom of the hour break. We'll move We'll work through a couple of these texts. 437-9680, the best way to be part of the show. You're listening to The V Show on a Tuesday. Jeff Lightsey Jr., Nick Valvano, Tanner Brunomesso, and for Bobby V, it's ESPN 680 1057.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
A part of the show, text Bobby V on the UPS jobs text line at 437-9680.
V Show rolling along here on a Tuesday on ESPN 680-1057. Yes, I'm eating something, sorry.
Now, do you like Tanner, what made you choose this song? Just curious.
Oh, I when I was parking, it came on and I was like, oh, like, I love this song. And okay. then I was like, and I always look out when I'm, like, listening to music. I'm like, all right, if the first 30 seconds have, like, a good feel to it, I'll use it for a rejoin. And that's usually, I'll use the ones on the computer.
No,
but
no, I like that. They're always there for you.
Yeah,
so,
of course,
you know,
in case you're rushing. But also,
yeah, right. They're always there. But I like the new influx. I've been meaning to update some of the music.
So the reason why
I like that.
The reason why I asked that is because this song, like, when I think of this song, I think of
2K.
NBA Street Volume 2.
Oh, that's
NBA
Street. Not 2K.
So
yeah.
you ever
That was the one with the Game Breaker, right?
Yes, yeah. with Stretch and Bobby Wito and all that stuff. Like, so, like, that was the song when you cut the game on. Like, it was this right here.
Oh, nice.
And so, like, you know, just certain songs, like, you think of a video game with a song, that's it. Like, that's one for me.
Oh, yeah.
And Street Volume 2 is, like, probably my all-time favorite video game ever, maybe.
That's a good one.
I think it's up there. I feel like it's kind of slept on a little bit too.
Yeah,
but for me, like, it's very, but it has like a cult following. Yeah. I think somebody posted it on Twitter one time and it went viral. And I was like, oh man, I didn't know me and my brother. I thought like me and my brother's the only two that loved this game. And apparently has like a huge, massive following across the country.
Street, did you like NFL Street?
NFL Street was dope too.
NFL Street was fun. I liked NBA Street a little. Like, I didn't play them both like excessively. But I liked NBA Street a little bit more.
Yeah, NBA Street Volume 2 very specifically. Because Street V3 was cool, and the first one was
cool. See, I never played... I played the first and the second one, but the second one the most. I never played the third one.
The third one was okay, but NFL Street, now that was like... That was when the GameCube was big.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I had NFL Street at my granny's house on the GameCube and could beat everybody. Like, I was pretty good at it. And then, yeah, so, like, that song just reminded me of, like, video game music. Is there any songs that you associate with a game?
I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah. Organically, we're going to – somehow I need to figure out how to turn this into a Twitter poll because it's Twitter Poll Tuesday on the V Show. But it's a good topic. We've touched on this before in the past, you know, summer radio and everything. Mm-hmm. But text those in, your favorite video sports.
Yeah,
sports video game soundtracks.
Oh, NHL 09.
And I was just about to say, man. NHL.
Madden 11 with Drew Brees on the cover. That was crazy.
See, my favorite ones.
And then 2K11, dude. That one.
2K's had some good ones.
2K. Because they always get like, I think one year they had like Jay-Z just pick a playlist. Yeah, and they had DJ Khaled.
I think it was a couple of years they had Jay-Z. Yeah, no, 2K's had some good ones in the past.
I'm trying to think. See, there was about a 15-year span where I just didn't play a ton of sports video games. Mm-hmm. But when I was younger... And I've fallen down this wormhole before. Like, the ones that I liked still hold up.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Madden 2003 is my all-time favorite sports soundtrack.
Madden's had some good ones. I believe
2003 had, I think the opening song was Andrew W.K. Party Hard, which, I mean, even if you don't like Andrew W.K., it's a burst of adrenaline. Yeah. That's awesome.
NHL 08, you click start, and it starts playing Misery Business by Paramore, and, dude, you just want to go right through the wall. Like, I'm like, oh, yeah, dude. What is her name? Haley Williams?
Haley Williams.
She can do no wrong.
One of the best live shows I've ever seen. Paramore. Saw her down at Hangout Fest, and it was just one of those things. I was like, sure, why not? Like, you know, I don't dislike Paramore, but I don't love them. And I saw, and I was like, yo, they threw down. And, you know, and Haley has a presence. And,
yeah.
So I was kind of like, I was smitten. I was definitely smitten. No, she was fantastic. How many times can Nick say organically? I have said organically a lot this show. That's fair. That is definitely the word of the day. Tanner, if you can keep track of it. You know, I think over under counter for the rest of the show, 3.5.
3.5?
Because it's going to be in my mind.
Yeah.
But I'll forget about it. Yeah. And I'll definitely say that. Texter wants to know, what was that song that you played? What was the name of that song?
They Reminisce Over You by Pete Rock.
Pete Rock.
He has some of the best intermentals I've ever heard, though. I like the beats that he uses for his songs.
I've heard that a million times, but I didn't know that's what it was called.
My rejoins are mainly, who is calling?
I don't know.
It's got to work.
Tony Hawk,
yes.
If you consider it a sports game.
Which
it is.
Soundtrack's awesome.
Goldfinger and Tony Hawk's, you know, so here I am.
Yeah.
Doing it. I mean, if you like, I'm just like immediately doing Benihana's over tailpipe, half pipes and everything.
Yeah.
No, I love that. That was
Tony
like.
Tony Hawk had some good soundtracks.
Tony Hawk.
And it was a dope game.
Oh, God.
Tony
Hawk.
You didn't have to be a skater to really be in a Tony Hawk game.
And, like, the skate games, like not Tony Hawk, but like Skate 3, that had a good soundtrack too.
Some of the later ones,
Going Up the Country.
Tony Hawk's Underground had a good soundtrack. I remember hearing it like the skate games. Was that Wii? GameCube?
No, they were after Tony Hawk. It was like Tony Hawk kind of finished, and then it was
Tony Hawk's Underground 07, was like 03, and then
Skate 1 was like 07, and then
But what system would that have been?
No, that was like 360, like PS3.
Oh, okay. It wasn't on Nintendo?
No.
Oh, okay.
See, I never owned the Tony Hawk game. So, and that's another thing. This is like funny how the world works now. Because like there were certain things I know like in our house, either we weren't allowed to play or we just didn't own. And so like you'd go to either a family member's house or a friend's house and they had a game that you didn't have. So like that was like the Tony Hawk for me. Like I never owned a Tony Hawk game, but I could go to like my cousin's house and they had it. And it's like,
oh, this is the greatest game ever. God, like, awesome. This is all, and it's
do you
like,
remember who your skater was?
No, I
Bucky
don't.
Bucky Lassick. Yeah. And the finger flip, baby. That was his, like, his you know, special trick he could do.
Yeah, so it's like now, like, everybody has everything and at your fingertips or whatever. But, like, you could know, like, oh, I look forward to seeing my cousin and I look forward to playing this game that I don't have, right? So, like, also, Grand Theft Auto. Like, my dad was like, we're not playing that.
Nope.
But I could go to, like, a cousin's house and, like, they had all the Grand Theft Auto. Yeah. So it's like, oh, yeah.
And then you'd have the code. You get the code book.
See the guy turning around or something, and then a tank pops up.
And then a tank pops up. You type in all the stuff, and he has, like,
unlimited, left, right, left,
every gun in the game. It's like, wow, it's a chainsaw and a rocket launcher. How did he get that? That's awesome.
No, it's, like, that type of stuff. So, but now everybody has access to everything, and it's not. It doesn't make it as illustrious or cool or anything.
Oh, yeah. No, that was definitely part of the allure of going to your friend's house, getting that game that you didn't own or your parents wouldn't let you play.
Or, like, one of your friends had HBO.
Oh, God,
you go to that.
Yeah. Yeah. The first time you experienced Skinamax as a kid, like, it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. This is on every night? You have access to this every night? It's like, my God, how do you go to sleep? Like, this is the greatest thing ever. I remember, but the first time I was like, wait, it's a bikini and a car wash? I was like, whoa. All right. Did the gas bags win last night?
Ball game over.
Gas bags.
Win.
Gas bags.
You made that?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
It hurt me to make it, too, because I don't like the Yankees, but I was like, I got to do it.
Oh, that's fantastic, dude. What a great addition. Good job, Tanner. So we won last night, so we're 3-1 this season ever since I stopped playing.
4-1. 4-1.
4-1. Yeah, it's weird.
But that one is fake. I don't.
Oh, yeah, no. We
lost for Kobe, though. We lost 24-8, so I was like, that was a Kobe loss, guys. That's okay.
Did it for Mamba. There we go. 437-968 UPS job sex line. The BMX game, I think it was Dave Mira, BMX, had the best soundtrack. It was a Dreamcast, and I also really liked the first Tony Hawk. Yeah, the first Tony Hawk was my favorite. Madden 2003 was probably my favorite Madden game. NHL 11 was probably my favorite NHL game. This is the whitest combo you can possibly have, Jeff, was that? NHL Hits 2002
with Limp
Bizkit as the opening
song. Keep rolling, rolling, rolling.
Dude, I forgot about that game.
I would plug
that in before my real hockey games. Watch, because this is before YouTube.
No, it's
watch
me.
That highlight compilation of rolling and then go off to hockey.
I was so hyped up.
Majority of Scott Stevens just hitting guys with just, his elbow. And
which would
like,
be completely illegal now.
There are so many concussions. But it's Limp Bizkit, and you're like, I'm fired up. Oh, my God. I forgot about that game. Oh, my goodness. You just like... threw me back.
NHL Hits, Limp Bizkit. That combo was like chocolate and peanut butter. It just was so awesome. And then, the opening screen, you know, burr, 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 burr. Oh my God. I played
take
that.
You back.
Dude, seriously. Like they say, smell is the one most associated with like memory, but occasionally sound.
Yeah,
like
no music
like,
definitely.
Like music,
like,
yeah,
like,
for
I
sure.
Mean, this is how you like when I heard
yeah,
that
you went
song,
right back to
I was
NBA
like,
Street.
Yo, this is NBA Street Volume 2. Like I'm playing it right now. I see like I'm trying to beat every level. Me and my brother staying up all night, like trying to beat Stretch at the end and acquire Michael Jordan. Like
yeah,
you
right.
unlock the characters as you win, and Michael Jordan's the at the very end. You unlock.
I didn't
him.
Know Jordan was in that game. I didn't play. See, I played it, but
yeah,
I didn't play
no,
it a ton.
Was, yeah. He was
like I didn't know that was like
he was one of the unlockable characters.
Oh, that's
so like,
awesome.
So like when you beat like you would have to go to the different parks and beat like the king of the court of that park.
Yeah, right.
So like Stretch was like a version of Dr. J.
Yeah.
And like
yeah, he's the guy like, on the cover.
Exactly. So you'd beat him and then now he's on your team, right?
Okay.
And like and then you go and you play because your guy is the one you created. And so it was technically my brother's game, so we were Kane and Lighty like on the game, right? And so like but I would play it all the time and he would like get beat and like here beat it for me. I'm like, all right, let's go.
Right.
Like, so Kane and Lighty beat Stretch Team and let's go. Now we, and at the very end, you got to beat Michael Jordan, right?
Okay.
And
then so he's like, he's like the secret final boss.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes.
Got you.
So
got
like,
you.
That's how it worked.
This texter says Midnight Club Dub Edition on PS3.
Good one.
Had an awesome soundtrack.
Like, Midnight Clubs were pretty, like, those had some good soundtracks, and those were just some awesome games.
Those were
Midnight
the racing
Club.
Games, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
You race through the streets of New York.
Yeah, right.
It's not a soundtrack question, but did you guys ever played like the backyard sports games?
Oh God, yeah.
Oh, those are the best.
100%.
Those are the best.
No. Pablo Sanchez, the goat.
Like Pablo, yeah. There's like video games.
My favorite thing, the backyard hockey. Kenny Kawaguchi, the kid in the wheelchair. They're like, he is the best goalie in the game. And it's like, all right, really? Okay, guys. They like really did not care.
I never played backyard hockey.
No, I never played the hockey. I mainly baseball.
Baseball.
The 07 one, because I remember it was like Pujols was on the cover, but you can get Ortiz. And
yeah,
for me,
yes.
The big one was Dontrell Willis at the time.
Oh, that was your guy.
And then,
your guy.
Like right after that, like his career went off the rails. And I was like, well, at least I got to play in backyard sports with him because that guy. But, oh my God. Reggie Jackson, I think, was the kid. He was also sick.
There was a Reggie Jackson?
Yes.
I
know what you're
Ricky
talking about.
Or Reggie.
It was something like
Ricky.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
One of the two. And then I remember Pete Wheeler was just the kid with glasses.
Yeah, I remember Pete Wheeler.
But he was fast as hell.
He was fast as hell. See, the two I had that I loved the best were Keisha Phillips. Because she was just...
Dude, she used to throw heat, too.
She could
throw heat,
and she would just hit piss rockets.
Yeah.
Like, she was just an absolute, like, missile launcher. Like, I loved her. And then, obviously, Pablo Sanchez, the GOAT.
With his walk-up
song, too. Oh,
he was
God,
always
yeah.
shy, but then you just hear, like, the guitar, and you're like, okay, now he's coming up. I'm rocking this one out.
Oh, dude, Pablo, five-tool player for 100%. I mean, he's up there in, like, Bo Jackson from Tecmo Bowl levels.
Madden 04, Mike Vick.
Yeah, there you go.
Who else was there? There was, like, the Wilson twins or something. There was, like, two twins. Like blonde
John
girls.
Wall, college basketball, yeah. 2010 or 2011, yeah, whatever.
Cheat code.
He was unreal. Yeah. Like, he was. You weren't beating Kentucky that year.
2K11 Monte Ellis. He was like an 83, but he played like a 99.
Who was like, what was the, there was a thing in like the old NHL games. I could be making this up, but I love the petty stuff that happened in like the guy who made NBA Jam made it. So he was a Pistons fan, a Bad Boy Pistons fan. Yeah. So he put like a, did you know this? He put like a code in the game that if you're playing as the Bulls against the Pistons will beat you.
Wow.
Like literally he made it so that like you can't hit a shot like late in the game. So
that's
like look this
awesome.
Up. Seriously, he was so petty. He put in the game that like the Pistons always would beat the Bulls
because
they never did in real life. You know, so like there's that, and then
they did early. They did in the 90s.
Yeah,
they beat
them
in the 80s. Couldn't beat them in the 90s. Yeah.
Good point. Like I think I could be wrong, but I think Wayne Gretzky didn't sign with like EA. Like hockey or whatever, he like had his own offshoot of like Wayne
Michael
Gretzky
Jordan
hockey.
Oh
thing
yeah,
like that.
On the Wii, and they gave you a whole like stick setup.
Well,
like,
there was that,
yeah,
and then there was also Wayne Gretzky hockey, which was made by Williams, my first ever sports game.
Mm.
Not my first ever, N64 game.
Okay,
Wayne Gretzky hockey was awesome. You could just cross check people like all over the place. But I think he had something similar in the 90s, and so because he didn't play ball with EA, every time you played. Like as the Kings or something in like NHL, Wayne Gretzky would get hurt.
Wow.
So I could be 1,000% wrong about this, but I think they made
funny.
It. They were so petty. They were like, fine, you know, the great one doesn't want to play with us. Well, guess what? You know, he gets hurt every single game.
Another video game legend was Joe Dowd, I think, but it was really Barry Bonds. But he didn't sign the contract.
That's right.
So then it was
he was a white
99 overall
white dude named
Joe Dowd
on the Giants. Yeah, like, so like you know, it's funny. Something similar is like happening with Marvin Harrison Jr. Like since he hasn't NFLPA licensing agreement, like they can't sell his jerseys, they can't put him in Madden or anything, like they can't do anything. And essentially, it's funny because we're watching like how NIL is affecting like whether you think it's bad, good, whatever, affecting like some of the mindset of some of these NIL superstars coming into the professional leagues that have already got business acumen. So they're coming in like, hey, I have leverage. I'm the fourth pick. I'm one of the most notable people on the Cardinals. You guys want my rights or my likeness or whatever.
Right.
That means we can negotiate.
Yeah.
Because typically everybody's just so excited about getting their jersey in stores or whatever. Like, they just take the basic package or whatever.
Right.
But he's like, oh, you know, I think we can negotiate.
No,
you know,
I'm
going to negotiate with someone else that may be willing to give me something better. And it's like, oh, that's kind of like...
changing the game. I think Fanatic sued him. Yeah. I think they're in a lawsuit right now. It's like crazy. No, so hearing that just made me think of that. It was wild.
I side with the player on that. Like, get your worth, man. You know, like, yeah, don't just be taking like some baseline thing just because. Like, I mean, if you're, you know, now, I mean, there's a fine line.
Oh, absolutely. And only certain people can do this.
Yeah. Too. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, 100%. Like, you got to also kind of know your worth. Like, yeah. I hate to say that. Like,
yeah. No, it's
like,
true.
Like, if I was a, because if there was any way I was playing college football, I would be like the walk-on, like backup punter, you know, something like that. So I would be saying, you know, fine, like, give me $25 and a stick of
the
gum.
Game, and I get
Let's
the game.
Let's go. And I get a game. Like, hell yeah. Like, you know, I'd be signing, sign me up for sure. 437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. Look up Ahmed Khan's bio and find the Easter eggs. I don't know. Is that in backyard baseball? Yeah, I don't know what that is. Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Tap in.
Just recently purchased NBA Jam Arcade 1-Up and really enjoyed playing it. Been working on getting one for our studio.
Ooh, that'd be
yeah,
nice.
Yeah, I've had a couple of bites on Facebook Marketplace because I definitely think I don't know who my favorite NBA Jam team is because I'm a Knicks fan. Mm-hmm. And obviously I love playing with, I think it's John Starks and Patrick Ewing.
Yes.
Love that combo. But it's totally different than, can't remember who the Pacers combo I love because I mean you have Reggie Miller
and Rick Smits.
I think so. Yeah, I think that's the
because it's typically like a big and a little, you know, like yeah, two, right. Like they mix
and
it
so
up
if you hard. Play if you play with the Knicks, like I mean you're really playing like a dunk heavy game,
yeah,
you know. But it like with Starks and Ewing, but if you have like. If you're playing with the Pacers and Reggie Miller, I think he might be the best shooter in the game.
Probably so.
And, I mean, he's just like an automatic, yeah. like, three-point bucket.
And he was the all-time like, three-point
leader. I
can't leader
remember
for a long time.
Who their, like, default duo is.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it is. I do know that Jordan wasn't in that game. He was... Yeah.
So, that's the thing about Jordan. For a long time, I think he's kind of, especially with since The Last Dance has come up, you really see his stuff. Like, for a long time, somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, if I'm not mistaken... He owned kind of like the Gretzky thing,
yeah.
But it was like on steroids. Like, I don't even think, unless you got permission or you gave him like a, he had like a licensing deal for his highlights.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, so the reason why I remember this distinctly, because we had like growing up, my grandmother was a huge Michael Jordan fan. And she had like these VCRs, which are like so funny, or tapes of like his. It was like a biography with his highlights right. and all that stuff. And if you ever think about it, like growing up, you didn't really see a ton of like Michael Jordan highlights outside of like ESPN or outside of NBC because
yeah, or some commercial he was in or something.
Because exactly, commercials was another one because he like owned the rights to his games in the NBA. How in the hell he was able
say
to,
how he pulled that?
Because he's Michael Jordan. That's yeah. why. Like, nobody else had this going on. He's, like, literally the... He was probably the first and only person to ever be able to pull something like this off. And so now that The Last Dance came out, it's a little different because he wanted it widespread.
Right.
But for a long time, that was... And I was like, why would he want to do that? Well, part of it because, like, now we live in a social media era. It's a lot different. But the mystique of right. Michael Jordan was, like, the thing. So when you got a chance to see him... It was a huge deal. But if you're playing highlights everywhere, or if you're seeing outside of his commercials, if you're seeing all his highlights and all his stuff, it kind of takes away some of that allure.
Yeah.
It takes away
some
of that
yeah.
mystique. And so that's why he's like probably the greatest businessman ever. The people around him understood like one of the things about Michael Jordan is you have to catch him when you catch him, because if you don't, you may not catch him for a long time.
Right.
And that's like crazy to think
about. Talk
about
like a media yes. blackout. Like he was doing like a highlight blackout.
Yeah. And so
you couldn't
like,
ever see him.
And that was
that's genius.
And that was the thing. And that's why like you elevate because, you know, it's like supply and demand. If I
right.
have less supply, the demand is yeah. higher. The price
yeah.
is higher. And Jordan was a price man. That's why he said back in the day, man, Republicans and Democrats buy shoes. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm getting to the bag.
He
like,
was a genius, man.
Yeah. So it was like cool. Like that was a thing about him, a very mystique. And that's like even with Michael Jackson, he didn't obviously own highlights, but the reason why he was so uber famous is because like unlike Jordan, he didn't have highlights.
Right.
You caught him in person or you're on a music video. And if you didn't, you might not ever get a chance to see him again. So when he was in your town, you had your biggest venue,
you better get those tickets while it lasted, because if you didn't see him, you may not ever get to see him perform, because there was no YouTube, Facebook, all the stuff that we have now.
And so the scarcity raises the demand and then the price and everything. I mean, it's truly like genius businessman. I do kind of wonder, that'd be like, we would have to do some research. Like, I don't know if this is something that organically could come up, but I would love to know, like, have like a sports marketing guru or somebody like that come in and say, because I mean, look, Jordan was, you know, the GOAT, and if you say LeBron's better or Wilt's better or something, fine. I'm just saying that. I mean, he's on the Mount Rushmore.
Oscarov is better.
Yeah, right. You know, like, I mean, we can all like agree that he's one of the all time greats.
Definitely.
But he definitely not only took that all time great status, but marketed himself in a way that like nobody had up until that point.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I mean, like Arnold Palmer randomly comes up as somebody that marketed himself.
No, he did.
A crazy amount.
Absolutely.
I mean, he was, I think Pops brought up that he was like the highest grossing guy on the tour, like all the way into like the 80s or something like that.
I believe
because
it.
Of all of his endorsements that he signed when he was playing. But I'm saying,
I mean, he has a drink.
I was going to say, he
still has like
literally has a drink.
I didn't know he was a golfer until I was like 10.
Yeah, right.
I'm not even kidding.
That's a perfect example.
No, dead serious. I didn't either for a long time. Like, I would hear people, I know the tea and lemonade Arnold Palmer, but I didn't know who he was.
Yeah, right.
Like, I just knew it was a thing. I didn't even know that was a person. I just thought this was the drink.
Yeah, just like, it's just like named after some guy named Arnold Palmer.
Long Island iced tea.
Yeah, right.
You know,
right.
Vodka soda, whatever. Arnold Palmer.
It's like a mojito. Like yeah, somebody just called it this.
Exactly.
Yeah, it turns out he's one of the all-time great golfers.
Exactly.
But I'm saying, like, there's athletes that were great, but absolutely capitalized on their fame.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to hear a sports guru businessman say that what athlete in the past, if he just had a modicum of marketing, could have maybe made himself like into that, you know what I'm saying? Like what athlete had all the traits, the marketability, the look, the on field or on court like success, but like someone, like, you know, someone would look at that and be like, man, that was a wasted opportunity. I could have made that guy a billionaire.
I think these guys, these two guys, when you say that, they come to the top of my head. It's not that I don't think they were marketed well. I think they were actually marketed extremely well. I think their careers not being as long or injuries kind of hurt it. I think of Grant Hill and Penny Hardaway.
I was literally about to say that.
I think of those two.
I was literally, because they were filling the void of MJ.
Yes.
And
they were like superstars.
Right.
Like Grant's still in the Hall of Fame. Like, don't get it twisted. Like, Grant Hill still ended up being all right.
I still have the Penny Hardaway honeycomb posters.
Well, Penny,
that you got in the cereal boxes.
And Penny Hardaway shoes still sell like crazy. Like, and he had like Little Penny with Chris Rock.
Right.
He was on, like, he was the thing. Like, he was, like you said, immediately following MJ, or even really in the mix of the MJ, because they beat MJ in the final, you know, in the playoffs in 95. Like, if he doesn't get hurt, I mean, I think he becomes a
way bigger,
he was a big deal. Like,
right.
He's still a big deal, but I think he like is huge. And Grant Hill the same way. Grant Hill coming from Duke, winning the championships, mm-hmm. like being a stud too. Like, because that's another thing. It's hard to continue to be a superstar if you're not any good. Like,
right.
If you're trash, like, nobody's gonna like, okay, yeah, you got a name, but you're trash. Like Brian Bosworth, you fall off the face of the earth. But like, if you're like, these guys had the name, had the brand, had the, and they were good. It's just the injuries I kind of think derailed them a little bit.
Do you think where they went, like, in their career, I mean, with the highest level of respect to, you know, Detroit and the Pistons. Like,
and in Orlando,
and Orlando
too.
With the Magic.
It's not L.A.
It's not L.A.
It's
Chicago.
It's not New York. And that plays a factor. But I think that's how you know how big they were. Because even though they played in Detroit or Orlando, like, Penny had some of the best Nike shoes. At Nike, some of the most sold Nike shoes of all time to this day, and he played for the Magic. Like, that's how big he was. Like, and if he doesn't get hurt, who knows where that goes? He doesn't get hurt, who knows that he doesn't sign with the Bulls or the Lakers
or
New York,
somewhere,
and then it blows it out of the water. Like, when he gets hurt, it kind of, you know, dwindles everything, and he's not the same player. But if he doesn't get hurt, and it's what's so crazy is, the surgery that he got, they don't even do anymore. That's how bad, like, the microfracture knee surgery. Like, they don't do that operation anymore because they saw it take away folks' career. Like, they saw people's career not be the same after having that
particular procedure. So they like changed it. It's a different type of procedure they do when you have that kind of knee injury. So that's why I think of those two. Like when you said that, I'm like, man, like I am like, if those guys never get hurt, because like I said, Grant Hill's still in the Hall of Fame. He's still everywhere. Seems like he does everything everywhere. And Penny is coaching Memphis. Like I said, his shoes still sell like crazy to this day. When they re-release the Air Penny ones or the Zoom rookies, or I'm a sneaker person, so like, no, I'm into that. No. Like when they re-release those, like
Phil Baker just perked up, you know, yeah, at the
like,
back. Yeah,
like I have those. So just imagine, like you said, if they never get hurt or if they go to a major market, who knows what. But that, I think they would be at the top of that list you're
right.
talking about.
Okay, I'm glad you said it, because I was literally gonna say Grant Hill, because also I and then that would have turned into Penny, because I mean they're both around the same time. But also, like, I would want to know from that same sales guru, maybe somebody that I don't want to say was overhyped, but was somebody that maybe got, well, I feel like Penny would be a perfect example.
Lynn Sanity.
Oh man, that was so much fun. Dude, I love Carmelo. I'm so mad he ran Jeremy Lin out of town. That was so much freaking fun.
Lin Sanity. I mean, Lin Sanity got a documentary last year. Like, yeah. I mean, this dude has been able to eat.
Off of a 6-week period. Like, and what was that, like 2014 or something like that? Like, I'm trying, maybe
a little later than that. Or a little earlier than that.
Was it like 2011?
Like, 11, 12, somewhere around there, I want
to
believe.
I'm trying to think, because it was when I was in college.
Yeah.
Because I remember doing like postseason hockey workouts and watching it. I was like, that's my boy. Lin Sanity. Yeah. I was so excited.
No, like, Lin Sanity, I mean, I think he got like a $50 million contract essentially strictly just off those 6 weeks. Like, Lin Sanity is probably on the opposite end, because it's not that he wasn't a bad player, but he was with the Knicks.
Oh yeah. Like, yeah, I know, because he had that major market. Yeah.
And he had and the Knicks at the time, you know, you're still struggling. And now you have a solid team, and then you have this guy who's a Harvard graduate, who's Asian. That helps too.
No, for sure.
And he's with the Knicks and he's hooping. Once again, you gotta be good. And he's hooping.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That was wild.
And like I said, if he does that in Charlotte, nobody cares.
No.
He does that in New Orleans. Who cares?
Yeah.
Even if he does that with the Bulls at that time, nobody cares. But to do that with the Knicks and like the team New York.
That was starved for success.
And just starved for any type of life.
Right.
And, you know, New York has a large Asian community. Obviously, China and Asia have a large, you know, they're tapped into the NBA because of the Yao Ming effect and everything. Like, Lin Sanity was, whew. I mean, that was nuts.
That's a good. I think that's a great example. God, I remember that. I'm so mad Carmelo ran him out of town, man. I was like, I love Carmelo, but I was like, man, why'd you do
that? So is that what happened? I even forgot. What happened? Carmelo ran him. I don't even remember.
He basically was not a fan of Jeremy Lin.
Now that I do
and
know.
Like, I think he basically was like, trade this mother trucker. Like, and they were like, but Carmelo, and he was like, no. He's like, I don't want to play with him. And so they traded him, and I don't even remember who they got for him. But
he ended up signing a big deal, I think, in Houston.
He had some injuries, too.
I think he got like 40 or 50 million from Houston. And just was like never the same player.
Yeah.
But like, God, it was fun when he was in New York.
It was a fun like 6-week period. That was a lot of fun.
I think the one that set it off, he dropped like 38 on the Lakers.
Yeah.
And like Kobe's Lakers, the Knicks. Lin Sanity, and it's like, yo, who is this?
Who is this guy?
Just dropped 38 on Kobe? Yeah. Like, who is this? And it just went insane after that.
Yeah, God, it was definitely a fun period. That's a good example. I'm trying to think of other ones.
Speaking of like that kind of person where it was like one or two games, Jack Golke is having they're doing a prospect like workout, and Pacers brought him in. I didn't think he was going to get any looks, but I guess he's got some kind of.
Well, when you lead NCAA in 3-point shots or three pointers made, he did lead the NCAA.
He shot a lot of threes going into the tournament. He had the most made threes.
I knew there was a stat around that.
When Kentucky, because you know their defense was so bad, it was like, okay, you know they're a 14 seed or whatever, like.
But they do have this guy that shoots a bunch of like he's literally made the most threes in like going into the tournament. And Kentucky's like terrible on defense, so you may just want to pay attention to this guy.
Which one is it? The one that looks like Matthew Perry, that one. Yeah, and watch out for him.
Then they didn't, and he shot made like seven threes in the first half. Like,
I remember we were at our bowling league, and my girlfriend and her dad came out to watch. And they're big UK fans. Mm. And I felt so bad because they're like the nicest UK fans ever. But the U of L fan in me, and I was just like, I was like, come on. I felt bad, but at the same time, I didn't because I was like, it was fun. Take UK out of it. Yes. Insert, major school A against underdog, B. And it was a fun game to watch.
No, absolutely.
Like, it was a fun game.
Like, everybody loved like that, and that's the thing. That was, I think, that may have been the highest rated. And this is just the power of UK. I think that was the highest rated game for like the first two rounds.
Oh yeah,
that game like had more viewers than like any game in both the first or second round, if I'm not mistaken. The only thing like that is fun, and the March Madness people love that. Like sometimes, what I'm saying? Like it's good because we got such a major number. But damn it, Kentucky's out.
Yeah, but then we don't have UK Oakland, for a couple.
Yeah, Oakland ain't carrying the same weight as Kentucky.
Yeah, right.
Like, especially like.
And the nation isn't tuning in to see
Jack Oakley.
Yeah, with the highest level of respect to Jack Oakley. Yeah, it's just.
And so when they start getting to like the Elite Eights and Final Fours, like us as consumers or fans, like, we love upsets. But the suits.
Yeah,
they don't want to. Okay, you can upset like
one or two of them.
Upset
but,
Iowa.
Yeah,
upset,
I was about to say.
Upset Clemson.
Let's have a good old 12 over five.
12 over five. But don't upset Duke. Don't upset Kentucky, Kansas, North Carolina. Like, okay. Or if you do upset one of them, but let the other ones continue to advance because they don't like that. That hurts the numbers.
Kansas is like first round game against like what was it, Samford? There was like a obvious block that they called a foul towards the end, and it would have saved Samford, but they gave it to Kansas. Like, they can't have Kansas.
Yeah, Buffalo Wild Wings got to press the button.
That is the best. Man, I need this game to go to overtime. I got you.
Hey. They pulled the call because they're like, hold on, man, because like we know if we get one of these big dogs, the Kansas, Kentucky's, we know we're going to get a number, 4, 5, 6 million, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
If they don't, now we're looking at 1, 2, 3, something like that. Nah.
If that.
Yeah,
if
exactly.
437-9680, UPS Jobs text line. Nick, quit blaming Melo for what happened to Jeremy Lin. James Dolan basically lowballed Lin, and when Houston offered a 3-year, $25 million deal, it was a wrap. Can't blame Jeremy Lin for taking the money. No, that's fair.
That's probably right.
Like always, James Dolan fumbled the bag. Mm. The Garden really needed a guy like Lin. Dolan didn't give a crap. Yeah. No, that's fair. That's fair. But I do know that it didn't help matters that Carmelo, your franchise player, wasn't a huge fan of Jeremy Lin. If T-Mac never got hurt, he could have been one of those players, as Texter says. That's a good one.
T-Mac was huge, too, and T-Mac was really, really big. I heard Gilbert Arenas talk about a story of going to China with T-Mac, and he's like, I just made all NBA. I just got this big contract. Like, I'm on the cover. I think he was on, NBA Live. Like, he's like, I'm on the cover of NBA Live. Like, and so I'm going doing this Adidas tour with T-Mac, and, it's T-Mac. Like, I mean, yeah, he's a stud, but, I'm the guy right now.
Right.
He said, it was like one little poster for me and a billion people there to see Tracy, T-Mac. He's like, oh.
Isn't Stefan Marbury different. Like that too in China?
Stefan Marbury. He's massive in China.
The guy. The Starberries. Did you guys ever own any Starberries?
I did, actually.
I owned a couple of pairs of Starberries.
They sold them at
$15 sneakers.
Dave and Berry's, I think, was the name of it.
Yes, in Cincinnati.
Yes. I love Dave and Berry's.
I've never been, but yeah.
Dude, loved it. Every time we went to it, we traveled around in Cincinnati, definitely had one. But anytime there was a city that had a Dave and Berry's, I would go with my mom because they had fat kid jeans. Okay. And I had hockey legs.
Yeah.
So I needed jeans that fit. And they had they were the only brand that had loose fitting jeans that would fit me. So we would load up on jeans there. And I remember seeing the video for Starberries. And I was like, this is really nice. He's giving away affordable shoes. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, hey, Dad, that Stefan Marbury is okay. And Dad, the ardent Knicks fan, was like, I hate him. We got to trade him. He's a ball stopper. They can't win with him. And I just was like, but he gives away affordable shoes. He was like, yeah, that's great. He also turns the ball over 19 times a game. And I was like, that's one of the things. I love it when Dad talks Knicks basketball.
Yeah.
Because all, You know, there's so many times, and look, he's my dad. I get it. Like, you know, he'll try to be the level-headed one. You know,
yeah,
everyone wants to fan, and he tries to bring us back to the medium and, you know, calm everybody down and everything like that. And I know some people get frustrated with that. Mm-hmm. Well, when the Knicks are on, he turns into that fan. Mm-hmm. He is mother trucking the team. He's mother trucking Dolan. He wants to trade everybody. Mm-hmm. Like, I need a videotape like him watching, because the accent comes out.
Uh-oh.
And like we went up to see I think it was 2015, I can't remember. Eastern Conference Semis, game 5, I believe, Pacers Knicks. And we go up to watch the game, and he's decked out in Knicks gear. And like Ray Felton, like, just like drove like baseline and dunked it, punched it in. And he's yelling, he's like, Chubby Ray going to the tin, baby. Like, I mean, just full on. You know, he would call him Chubby Ray Felton.
Chubby Ray.
He, like, I mean, it was the meme, like, of like inaudible Italian noises, okay. You know, of the Sopranos. Yeah. That was my dad and me up at that game. It was so awesome. Like, no, like, it was not the polished professional Bobby V. It was full on, you know, it was Bobby V that was born in Queens.
Yeah,
like, that's who was coming out. It was one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. And then my mom was getting into it. My mom, you know, it's like, well, you guard somebody, Mello, what are you doing? Like, and I just was like, what is going on right now? Like, my mom was screaming at Carmelo, and dad was like, God, that mother trucker can score though. And my mom was like, I don't care, can't guard a lamppost. And like, I was just, whoa, like, it was
what is going on? These are my parents? Okay.
Yeah, I know. Right,
man.
I brought a girl to that who promptly dumped me like 2 days later. I think she was like, I can't deal
these
with
guys
this.
Psychos,
these Italians are nuts. I just was like, I can't deal with it. Oh man, there's a story to that I could tell at some point that was really embarrassing. Basically, I'll give you the Cliff's Notes version. Your boy tried to do what's the movie with John Cusack outside the window?
Oh, with, I know Chuck with
like
boom
the boombox.
Yeah, the boombox.
Your boy like was like, I'm going to pull some romantic spit like that. It did not work. It did not work, and to this day we haven't talked. So it was one of those things. Absolutely, completely, utterly, utter failure. I've had some epic failures with women, none more so than that one. And I had friends that were like trying to talk me off. They're like, Nick, it's not going to work. I'm like, no, I got roses. It's going to be great. What are you talking
about?
And I was just saying, it's like, no, it's going to be awesome. I got candy. I got roses. What could possibly go wrong? And no, completely exploded in my face. Absolutely terrible. So. Yeah, we do need a break. 437-9680. A lot of texts to get to. We'll get those on the other side. We'll talk a little bit about this NC State story.
Yes.
I want to get Jeff's thoughts on that. Get your thoughts as well. By all means, text into the UPS Jobs text line. We have Neil Knuckles Greenberg joining us in about 10 minutes. And the fabulous one, Phil Baker, will tag in the 2 o'clock hour, allegedly. So we appreciate you guys listening. It's the V Show. It's a Twitter poll Tuesday on ESPN 680-1057.